Longtime fans of the show should be familiar with the lender formerly known as Sue Pullen, and I'm pleased to announce that she's back, fresh off a rebrand and ready to help as Sue Mackey. Sue is a certified mortgage advisor at Fairway Independent Mortgage, an equal housing lender who focuses on finding the right product for you and your needs. She has over 20 years of experience helping thousands of homeowners. Whether it's purchasing, refinancing, or even a reverse mortgage, Sue will help. Sue's licensed in 36 states now, so reach out and let Sue Mackey it happen for you. The best way to reach her is just give her a call at 520-977-7904 or in an email, spullen@fairwaymc.com. Fairway Independent Mortgage has an MLS number of 2289. Sue Mackey has an MLS number of 206048. That email again, spullen@fairwaymc.com. And that phone number is 520-977-7904. Shoot Sue an email and let her know she needs to update that address.
Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Disclaimer time. This is where I tell everyone to lighten up. It's just a podcast. Trading is like that roller coaster at the amusement park. Thrilling, unpredictable, and potentially stomach churning. What works for one person might leave another clutching their hat in the wind. Our hosts and guests, they're awesome, knowledgeable, full of insights, but we're not financial advisors. So don't rush to make any investment decisions based solely on our banter. Always consult with a professional or do your own research. Plus, let's face it, we like to have fun, laugh, enjoy the trading ride together. It's all in the name of good podcasting fun. So remember, take it easy, don't bet the farm, and keep your seatbelts on at all times. Thank you for listening. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the China Shop, home of the Band of Traders podcast. I'm your host, Kyle, and joining me tonight, we have Vanta Trading's Baba Yaga. Can you say Asa's tradition again? I don't know. Kind of lost its mojo a little bit. And as a special treat, we've got Fatty from Trade Pro Academy here with us, too. Now, I don't have a whole lot planned today. Just going to see where the conversation takes us tonight. So anybody listening in on the chat, you can help us steer the ship here by dropping your questions in the chat. After that, if we have time, we'll recap the week and the good, bad, and ugly. Maybe some bold predictions. We'll see what we have for time. Speaking of which, we should check in on those after, of course, we give everyone a chance to plug and promote themselves. Fatty, want to clue us in on what's going on over at Trade Pro?
Hey, Kyle. Hey, Baba Yaga. How are you guys doing?
Yo, great.
Good, man. Good.
Awesome. So I'm a part of a Trade Pro team, guys. We provide trading plans, trade entries, exits, portfolio management through options. Well, I've been doing this for quite a while, same as Victorio. You know, we're a part of George's initial team. And check us out. I hope you guys find this interesting and informative. And we trade together live every day from 9:30 and most of the afternoon sessions as well. So hope to see you guys there.
Yeah, we've had some fun Friday tradings with you guys. Yeah.
Yeah, I was surprised not to see you today, honestly. But when you said earlier on that, you're kind of taking the week off, it kind of made sense. I was like, okay.
Well, I mean, Bob is usually down to sling some contracts with anybody who invites him. So. You just throw him an invite, he'll be there.
I actually thought about it. I thought about reaching out to Vico, see if he wanted to do it. Yeah, we need to get some type of rotation, even if it's just once a month, just to hang out and trade. It's a good time.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. It was so fun when you guys were there. You know, we're throwing levels, ideas with each other. Trading is more fun when it's done in a team
setting. Like, I don't know about you guys, but I trade better when I've got new people around me. It's like, I don't want to look stupid here, so let's focus on the A-plus stuff.
Yeah, you become more conservative. Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, it's tradeproacademy.com. You can check them out over there. We've also got some discount links that I don't think George has picked up on yet in our Discord. So if you want to find those, shoot me a DM. I'll set you guys up. Baba Yaga, you got anything going on over at Vanta you want to promote?
Well, It looks like we're going to have a monthly Friday trading with friends over here. No, I was actually talking to some of the guys from Prop Alpha. They've been helping with some of my session work, to fine tune those time frames.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've got a way easier tool to test time ranges. Mm. So this could be any time range, 90 minute, 4 hour, 30 minute. You can set a custom start time and then, you know, run those ranges and, you know, set up back tests on those with various entry conditions. So I think some of that stuff is going to get put into the like the DLL mm-hmm. that they made for Vanta that has some of the other stuff that I use on my charts as well. So if you have the Prop Alpha studies, be on the lookout next time you close and reopen Sierra Chart for that updated DLL with maybe a couple of new tools in there. And they're just organized. Hey, these are the ones that I'm using in that DLL. Obviously, they're in the normal Prop Alpha DLL as well. But I think there's like a Vanta DLL when you subscribe from Vanta that has those studies. So
Nice.
Be on the lookout.
Yeah. And if you aren't on Prop Alpha too, I think you guys got a 50% discount link. There's no affiliate with you guys, just like the products.
No affiliate. No. Well, I mean, we don't really have I don't have an affiliate like where you buy something and we make money from it. We ask them to just give whatever discount they could give to our guys instead of an affiliate. So our guys and gals. So yeah, I think it's like 50% off the first month or and then some kind of discount after that or something. So yeah, it's pretty cool.
All right, good stuff. We'll have links for all that stuff in the show notes. As far as the show goes, next week our guest episode is going to be with Zen at Tyson Trades on Twitter. It's a stock trader that I recently came across via future guest, hopefully, Booch. He had a real nice post for our show, and I saw Zen commenting on there. So we had a great conversation around like humility. Keep an eye out for that next Thursday. I will be out of town next weekend, so there's going to be no weekend episode unless Baba decides to throw together an impromptu live stream.
Maybe we'll do something in the Discord or something. I don't know.
You guys could do something. Maybe do a little AMA there. I'll jump in and listen to that.
Yeah, Miss Baba might appreciate a Friday night off, though.
I know, right? Let's see. Quick chart update. Uruguay, Slovenia, and Romania still holding us up in those chart rankings and business and investing categories. Sweden, Austria, Ireland have dropped out of the top 250. So if you're in those countries and listening, borrow some phones from your friends and sub them to our show. First country to chart us at number one in any category, we will do something special to celebrate. I'm thinking maybe like a themed episode or something along those lines might be a lot of fun. If anybody has any suggestions or other ideas, though, feel free to send them to us at bandittraderspodcast@gmail.com, or you can just DM one of us on Twitter. All right, predictions. We'll just do a quick check on where we're at with those. NQ, we've got some don't trade levels that are still looking good for both of us. There's some Cleo predictions. I think we'll revisit those next time she comes in so she can update us. The Cleo Twitter, her passing all of us by end of year, she's currently sitting at 28. So if you're seeing her,
come on, guys.
She should be double that at least by now.
Yeah, triple. Come on.
And then I think I could probably call the Mavs not winning the finals. I think that's a safe assumption. They're down 3-0 and playing right now. What's the score on that? Does anybody know?
I have no idea.
I'm trying to pull it up real quick. Flaherty's got to know, right? Flaherty
47. No, what is it? 47-80. Dallas over the Celtics.
Oh, Jesus. Okay, maybe it's not over yet. It's probably over.
It's literally 47-80.
Jesus Christ. Where was that the first three games? Oh,
God. Right.
I did have one other prediction that did not come true. I said when Roaring Kitty exercises his GME options, he was going to buy Citadel. It looks like he's not going to have enough cash for that. I do kind of want to modify that, though. I have a sneaking suspicion he's going to be joining the GME board of directors here before too long.
Wow.
He's gonna have a seat if he keeps accruing shares anyway.
He's got to be close to that threshold by now, right?
I mean, yeah, I don't really know, but you would think.
Is he over 5% at this point?
I think he's close. I really do think he's actually close.
It's 5%. You have to start reporting to the SEC, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Is there anything else important about that level? What's the reasoning for that one? Does anybody know?
I assume that if you start moving that much size, it affects things. 5% of
the float. You're a decision maker. Yeah.
Fair enough.
One person.
I think that gets us through all the predictions here. So let's just dive in and get to know Fady. How does that sound?
Yeah, I'd like to know how you want us to say your name. Fady.
Yeah, is it Fady or Fady? I keep wanting to say Fady.
Fady.
Yeah.
Both pronunciations work, honestly. It's just whatever is easier for you guys. But yeah. Fady, usually it's a Middle Eastern name. Mm-hmm. So yeah, the pronunciation I'm used to is Fady.
Where are you out of? You're out of Egypt, aren't you?
No, I'm in Canada, but I'm originally Egyptian.
I kind of want to talk a little bit about Egypt, but I don't know if
it's
we want to spend
a very fun place. I spent a decent amount of time there this year, so it was very fun. But
that's what I thought, Rod. I thought his name was Fady because he liked to fade things.
part of my strategy.
Are you more of a fading type personality? Do you like to?
Yeah, I trade reversals often.
Yeah, do you want to tell us a little bit about that? Like, what sort of things you look for?
Sure. As like one of the best market conditions for me to trade is probably when there's a strong reversals. Usually, you get an intel on the level from the distribution areas, the volume profile ledges, as well as the time price opportunity chart, the TPO chart, which gives you a look into like the auction areas where there's volume ledges. Usually, this whole view of the market gives me an intel on where market can reverse, especially after a sharp move up or down. Mm-hmm. You know, so that type of analysis from the levels as far as TPO chart and volume profile analysis, beside the confirmation that we get from like the depth of market, reactivity, rotations, size coming in, all that stuff plays a factor into, okay, I have a level that I pre-planned that I can see a reversal of. And right now I'm seeing like enough buying accumulating, you know, a lot of rotations to this area. So I'll take a shot.
Man, it sounds a lot like Biko, which kind of makes sense since you guys kind of came up the same way.
Yeah, we trade together. Yeah. So a lot of the tools are pretty much the same.
Did you learn from Biko or did you guys kind of learn together?
Well, Biko has his own style.
Yeah.
And I have mine. But most of the time, we end up in the same trades anyhow. It's just managed differently. Also, you know, like Vic is on a lot more markets, to be honest. Vic is options, ETFs, he's a beast. It's just so he has more exposure to the markets outside of futures. Futures was kind of where I started and where I'm mostly still at. So, yeah.
How long did it take you to get it? Like to get to the point where you were like, you know,
profitable.
Yeah. Bringing in some cash.
3 years in.
3 years, man.
Yeah. But like there was breaks because when I started, I was in university. Mm-hmm. So like the first 3 years weren't like hard on disk trading capital, all that. There was breaks because, you know, you had to work like back then. Like I started on the minis because, you know, micros weren't. Yeah, so you can expect like $50 a point. Prop firms, all that wasn't there back then. So, you know, you kind of like you start off in the minis and, you know, things were different than they are now.
Yeah, things have changed a lot. Like I just remember George's course, like when I went through it about 2-3 years ago, and it was a lot more, it felt a lot more scalpy.
Yeah.
I like the way the direction has kind of gone now with a little bit more like Biko style, because I don't think that scalping one worked for me, and I don't think that works for a lot of people. But what you guys do now, I think works really well.
Yeah.
Like it's a lot more accessible, I think.
Absolutely. Micros make trading more accessible and easier to manage. Honestly, like you can, you know, when you're scalping, you need leverage, you need size, and you need lesser commission, you know. So, yeah, like I think if you're scalping or you're looking for a one-to-one move or a short portion of the move, you know, you should use the minis. But as for micros, if you're a directional trader, a reversal trader, somebody who wants time in the trade so that you can gain, you know, let the trade unfold in your direction, then trading a bigger size of micros will help you do that. Because the way I see it is like the more contracts you have on, the more time you can buy into a trade. Okay, it looks bad at some region of resistance up there. I can taper some, trail some, you know, lock and risk. If you're only trading one or two contracts, once it hits your first target, your second target, you have to be out. You know, you can't trail much. So
I think that's I think a lot of us have had that realization.
Yeah.
Like the more, it just gives you more flexibility. Absolutely. I think trading one lot is probably one of the hardest things I've ever tried to do.
Tough to trade one lot. You need the win rate and the profit factor to be like, you know, right on, and the market isn't perfect. So
yeah, there's also something to be said about not aping in with, you know, six lots right off the bat either. Yeah. Right? Which, Baba, you could talk to that. Like you've transitioned a lot to like taking the first entry, like with smaller size, letting it prove something, you know?
Yeah, we talked about that when we traded together a few weeks ago, I think. Mm-hmm. When we were on the Trade Pro thing, the question came up about adding, and I have tried to get better at, and I wonder your thoughts on this, Fetty. Like, so I like to take a position that's small ish, and then ideally, get an opportunity to add into that for like the second stage of the move. So, you know, like impulse move might be phase one, and then ideally some type of reoffer from there. And then that like second move through, you know, a new low or new high, whatever, rebid, reoffer, whatever you're looking at. And I think one of the challenging things is when you do build in, whether it's with micros or minis, once you kind of build in, you kind of have this area like, okay, now this is, I'm exposed here. Like if this move doesn't get a measure of follow through, then like I'm going to eat a, you know, even if it's to break even or, you know, you mitigate risk to some extent, you're going to eat that, right? And I think one of the challenging things is seeing the like P&L fluctuation. So you know, take a couple contracts, scale one, come back up, add back in, get part of the move, starts to go. And then let's say it comes back and, you know, there you are like, well, if I was just scalping, I could have scalped this out for a few hundred bucks, but like we're not trading for a few hundred bucks. We're not trading for 10-point moves, and just accepting that the idea of a move lower or higher, whichever way that trade goes against you, is that's just admitting that you were wrong on that swing move. Mm-hmm. And dude, that is, I mean, that's honestly, it's difficult. I think being able to admit that and hold the market to like the standards that you have for what you need to see has really been like a process of growth for me over the last little bit. And I wonder, like, have you experienced, you know, that type of challenge and navigated through that type of thing with your trading? Like, how do you accept when you're like, when you're wrong? And for traders out there who are growing and learning and all of that, like, how do they get better at eating it when you need to eat it and leaning in when you need to lean in and being okay with the results either way? Have you dealt through that? And what's that been like for you?
Absolutely. As a trader, you kind of have to deal through that, like, honestly, a lot. And, you know, like, being responsible with your trades comes down to the basic, like, risk management. So, you know, the way you can build responsibility and accountability in your trading, you hold yourself to, you know, standard, let's say, lot sizes, standard risk per day, risk per week. So this way, okay, like, I know I can make mistakes like when it comes to the trading itself, but at least I'm going to build responsibility towards the risk management. Now, with the same kind of process and with the same awareness, you take this into like the trading itself and try to, as the market is developing and things are getting intense and you can lose, because like the idea of being wrong is easily accepted once you're past the thing itself. When you're in front of it, you're dealing with another thing, which is impulses, right? Once your sense of ego gets hurt that you were wrong, you don't notice it, but you become more sensitive, more impulsive. You get back in there when you shouldn't. You keep trading the wrong direction, even though it's not going your way. And it's just like, it becomes like a downward spiral as the session is progressing. And that's how it kind of like goes down from there. So with the same process that we made for risk management, you take that same level of planning and you apply it to your trading, as well as be aware of, okay, I'm being impulsive. I have lost two trades in a row. The third one is going to be really good. I'm not trying to be impulsive. One thing I'll say to that is experience does help. Constant reflection on your mistakes and the days and the trades that you took when you shouldn't have kind of builds that awareness the next time that market environment presents itself. So yeah, like I think like a basic answer or something that is applicable right away is stick to your risk management. This is the first base of responsibility. The second thing is once the day is done and you're red, right? If you're green, it's okay. And you're red, I want you to sit there, right? Look at your trades and be like, yes, I did all of those. Okay. All of those are wrong. I was impulsive on all of those and I'll never make money trading unless I get my impulses in action and my system in place. Because see, a lot of times what it is, it's just not knowledge of a system. It's not that your psychology is bad. It's just you don't know what you're looking for initially. So anything that looks good on a moment in the market, you kind of get dragged into that. And yeah, that's kind of my two cents.
I love that.
That's fucking awesome, dude. There's something that actually that's been helping me a little bit with the accepting the loss. I'm curious if you've ever tried anything like that. It's something Andrew suggested in the last time we, or maybe it's some offline DMs I've had with him. He's been doing a little bit of one-on-one work with me. But like we've identified like the impulsive like person, the wild card character in my personality. I call him Rambo. He's the guy who wants to revenge trade and like nothing is over, you know, like stop his hit. That's not it. No, they close back below. It's good. We're getting right back in. We're going to take this thing back in their face. So what I do now is when I take one of those stops, I got to stop and think to myself like, oh, I just got Rambo cut down. He jumped over the trench early. He got shot to pieces. And he's got to respawn. Yeah. Yeah. He's not in control anymore.
And sometimes, you know, you take a loss and it's just a part of your system, a trade that you were looking for, and you get stopped and then it's going your way and it's actually setting up for the re-entry. So at that moment, that's kind of one of the hardest moments where you have to re-qualify and make the decision again quickly. Yes. And that is extremely, this is where the skill of keeping money comes from, because making it is like it happens in the market. But keeping it is the harder portion of the trading. And for you to keep it, you gotta be able to control these impulses and as well as know the system perfectly so that what do you look for to re-enter? Because, you know, sometimes you have a level, everything is looking bright, the market hit, fakes below it, jumps back above, and, you know, you kind of get stopped out, you have to re-enter. You know, for me personally, that happens in my trading days where like, okay, the level holds for like the first while, couple of rotations, I get in, then it head fakes a couple of points below, stops me out, then it jumps right back up and there's more absorption, still more buy momentum. For example, if I'm long, I want to re-enter, you know. I know that doesn't like kind of, not all people trade the same way. Some people have really wide stops, you know, so that they kind of get stopped and that's once. But for me, like, my stops are not that wide. So sometimes for me to work a level, it takes a couple of shots.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But
that's part of the plan, though, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And part of the plan, the most important part is I know what I'm looking for to re-enter. It's not just a random re-entry. Mm. That break of the price has to be qualified. There's a rejection as a head fake for me to try to short it again. You know, otherwise, you know, you get impulsive. So I define that very well in my head, and I do that through replaying how those moments look like, what I need to look for, the visual cues as far as the charts, the reactivity on the DOM, all that stuff comes and plays a role in my decision making. And of course, execution is the part that we get paid to do, and it's not perfect. Sometimes there is mistakes, sometimes, you know, you get impulsive, sometimes, and it's just part of what is. You have to brush that off quickly and I'll come back to the desk.
Problem is, can't fire my executor because. I can put the time out though. God damn it.
yeah, for sure. When you when you were kind of realizing some of the stuff, like say impulse control, for instance, we got a question. Just what were, so you mentioned a couple things that help with that. One is knowing your system or your approach, like through and through, you know what you want to see. So you're clear on the technicals and the tools that you're using to help you see what you want to see. I'm assuming that familiarity is part of what helps get that impulse in check across the board, not just for you, but for traders, but for your for your story through trading, what were some of the other things that you used to help get that under control? Did you journal? You mentioned replays or going back through and looking at stuff. What were some of the things that you did to help get that kind of in check?
Yeah, lose, review, reflect, write down, and keep looking at them so that it hurts. It has to hurt for you to improve. I swear, like, I wish I can give you a better answer, but
that's really, such a good answer.
That though. Is a good answer.
There's there, but this is where like this good answer interacts with live markets. Is like when you're executing, all right, and you're being impulsive. It's kind of how would I say this? It gets tough to control these impulses, all right. Mm-hmm. So sometimes it's gonna go out of hand. But a simple solution that is applicable is have a pivot level, meaning if, let's say I step into this session, be like, okay, I like the long side, volume looks good, I'm a little bullish, leaning bullish, whatever. I'm going to try to buy it. Okay, where would I stop buying it? And every long below becomes a mistake, mm-hmm. right? I have to define that level from a market analysis standpoint, because sometimes the market isn't perfect. Like it gives you the look and you get onto the trade and it doesn't unfold for you fully on your way. Or you get in and you get stopped right away and it moves to the level lower. So where is an area for me that the market is telling me, okay, below that region, I don't want to be long anymore, or above that region, I don't want to keep selling. So this is like something that you can apply right away is like, where am I wrong on the direction? And yeah, this is one more thing that kind of helps me is like I keep my pivots on my screens. I'll try the short below, for example, for like let's say I'm short below 640 on NASDAQ. I was short below 44 today on NQ. I believe 644 or 44. I'm not sure. But like try the long. Try the short 28, for example. I was like, okay, as long as I'm below that region, all right, I wanna stay short until that breaks. And that trade unfolded like 20 points in my direction a couple of times. And yeah, so tying the process to key levels so that if market tells you you're wrong, you look at your screen and it says like, hey, you wrote pre-market. Once that breaks, you're gonna stop. So, yeah.
Do you put that on the chart? Is that per trade, or is that like the pre-market works as these spots? These are the zones I'm gonna engage in. The pre-market works. Not necessarily not necessarily for each trade. Like this entry, I'm gonna say no. This entry is no good if this happens.
The a lot of it comes down to the pre-market. Of course, live information comes and changes everything, but you keep a level. You keep that in mind as you're going by in your trades, because like, okay, above this, I want to stay long. I don't want to keep fading. I'm not looking for a short move. I'm looking for a more of a directional get on board and let it unfold type of thing. So, you know, what I look for is like, okay, let's say 640 is my pivot. I want to stay short as long as we're below it. Once we break above it, I let it break. You know, okay, direction is verified for me now. Short side is not the right side. Look for entries to get long, check the TPO, the volume, where is good areas to get long, and I go from there. I reanalyze.
Yeah, I like that a lot.
I know. Look at how clean that looked on the chart today, too. That was a perfect example.
It is a good example. We talked about, and I'm looking back, I mean, today was a meh day. I tried some trades on the short side as well early. Some of them paid, some of them didn't. But we were also looking at the that like volume cave in the overnight profile mm-hmm. between like 570 and like 620. And if you remember, Kyle, I vividly remember saying these words. Like we built that volume there yesterday and then we've fallen below it and we're about to open right at the bottom edge of it. There should be no more business to do up there if the bears are actually serious about taking us lower mm-hmm. and obviously they weren't today. The bulls weren't that serious about taking us higher either, so it was kind of a balancey squirt out the top day, but I love that constant reference to information that you had before your emotions were involved, Because I think anytime we're trading, to some extent, I think we have to deal with our emotions. So when we see, or our impulses, so we see us move higher or move lower or whatever, and we get excited to be a part of a trade, sometimes those spots that we, you know, did all that prep work to identify when we weren't in the heat of a moment, they really do kind of function as a great guide as the day develops.
You know, the more I listen to Fady talk about the way he utilizes the information too, the way his plan works towards it, I'm kind of thinking I want to revamp the way I do my pre-market stuff, because really the focus I think needs to be more on what information do I want in the moment, because that's what your pre-market planning is giving you. It's giving you like a cheat sheet to go back and refer to, like, oh yes, that's right, I wanted to short this level here.
It gives you,
this happened,
it gives you like a GPS guide onto where am I going, where do I want my trading to be as the day is developing, from the most basic form that's changing, which is price. Okay, well, when price is doing that, I want to be doing that. I want to stay doing that until this and happens. All right, and that has to be the function of the pre-market trading plan.
Yeah, because I feel like my plan has just been all the same stuff I've been looking at. I don't know that necessarily all the work that I put into the plan is actually useful throughout the rest of the day. So I think it may be worth going back and revisiting that, figuring out what information I really want at this moment in time.
Yeah.
All right. What else you got for us, Bobby? You got any other questions here? I know there's one I want to ask.
Why don't you fire it off?
All right. So when George stepped away, this was probably what, like a year or two ago?
Yeah.
2 years ago? You ended up like filling in like his shoes. You took over the live futures room and led the live trading sessions there. Was that transition difficult for you to go from like, you know, say like student or member of like the community to being like one of the leaders there?
It was challenging at times. It was just more like handling doing trading and then interacting with the room, how to time manage, you know, the tasks. Okay, this is where I'm trading, this is where I'm talking. It took a while for readjustment, as well as like the pressure of being watched, of course, like, you know, people watch my trades like going in and stuff like that. It wasn't easy, honestly, but the transition was made a lot easier because of Victoria, to be honest.
Having just him to lean on for advice and experience.
Yeah. I think after a while of like when Victoria joined, you know, so we started doing the call together. Okay, I see how this is handled, and I kind of like took from him.
Oh, I guess that makes sense. Yeah, because he was kind of doing both for a while there.
Yeah,
so, yeah. You probably weren't just thrown out there all by yourself.
We started
here. Lead these people. Yeah. Day one, you're hired. Go.
We started. I think me and Victoria too started trading around the same time, because I met Victoria a while back when he was with George. It's just like he was in mentoring and the teaching business a lot longer than I have, but like around in terms of trading, we've kind of been together around for a while.
Really? Were you just quieter in TradePro? Because I don't remember seeing you too much in the chat rooms.
Yeah, I don't usually type on Discord. I just usually recap, you know. So or like I'm chatting to like individual members, you know. I'm more like on the I was more involved when I came on the live, you know, and hosting, but. As far as Discord, it's just not. I'm not very good at it, as Victoria, to be honest. You know, yeah.
Are you on Twitter or any other socials?
I use the TradePro Twitter, and that's about it.
Okay, yeah. That's the one I linked today when I messaged. That's the thing. I wasn't sure.
That's the one I use. I'm not big on social media. I don't use social media, to be honest.
I fucking hate social media, but Vico's a fucking boss.
I know. He's
so's Baba. So, like, when did you have any public struggles that you had to like work through on camera? Were there any like, I don't know, just
sometimes like you take losses and it's just tough. It's like, you know, people are watching me lose and it sucks. It's like it sucks that you lose, and it sucks when you're being watched even more. So it's hurtful in that way. But the more you do it, the easier it becomes. Just like anything else. So it's just a matter of like the first couple of months. And after that, like, things smoothed out very, very well.
Because, I don't know, I could see myself getting in trouble if I'm, like,
Yeah,
I'm real careful not to let the ego take. Yeah.
But like honestly, that's also what's good about like trading in a team, where like, okay, you know, if you're honest and you're sharing what's really happening, not some lies that you made up because you're afraid to tell the truth. You know, it's like, all right, you build like a form of like accountability. So, okay, I'm being wrong here. Vic says, okay, we shouldn't be getting along above this, for example. And yeah, we like you become more disciplined. It comes as a function of doing it transparently. You know, it builds accountability after a while.
Speaking of accountability, that's actually something you guys do over at TradePro quite a bit, or at least I know you guys used to, where you even like would pair people up to give each other or to give your students their like accountability partners. Yeah. So they'd have someone to work with.
We have an accountability portion on our Discord where, you know, students kind of link work in teams. They also do their own calls without us. Where they review, they review their day, you know, their trades, what could have done right, wrong, all that type of stuff. So yeah, that room is just full of value. Like honestly, from the beginning of the day, you get the main room with me and Victorio. After that, kind of the students get together. After that, it's like more either of a discussion on Discord, or if there is FOMC reports or anything in the afternoon, we kind of just jump in together again in the evening. So, and you get course access, which is amazing. You get to learn.
Oh, God, yeah, we didn't even talk about that. You guys just redid your whole pricing structure where everything's available for just the sub now, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, we should probably mention that. Yeah, now instead of paying $2,000 for the courses, you can get it for...
The subscription cost... Well, it depends what room you're subscribing, but like you guys will see the pricing if you add the link.
All right, perfect. Yeah,
we'll definitely include that.
Let me ask you guys a question.
Good to go for it, man.
All right. So I don't have a lot of background info about you guys, but I know that you both have families, married and with kids. Am I understanding this right?
Yep.
That's awesome. That was great. So
I had a starter pack, though. I didn't get to do all the little kid stuff.
Yeah. And were you guys trading prior, before like you had families, or did you start trading with the family?
I've always been like investing, but I didn't start like trying to learn how to trade until just before COVID. Mm. Like maybe the winter before COVID, I think, is when Dan and I started really getting into it.
Yeah.
So always had family around. Yeah.
Like I'm single, just you know, and yeah.
Okay.
My point was, like, does having like a family and kids, does that pressure mount into your risk profile? Do you become more risk averse? Maybe a lot, like maybe too risky because you want to secure the future. Does the family it kind of plays a factor into your risk profile and how you manage it. But the thing is, this question to be answered, you need the perspective on some of somebody who been on the fence both ways.
Oh,
meaning
right,
he
right.
traded before. Yeah, so yeah, never mind. I guess I just thought I would ask.
I mean, I know that just having people depend on me has changed
the way
my risk tolerance. Like even just in like everyday life. Like before I got married to my wife, like I'd move in the drop of a hat. Somebody offered me more, you know, 10 grand more money to go work somewhere else. Like, yeah, see ya, I'm gone. Can't really do that when you got to worry about kids going to high school and, you know, having friends and lives.
Yeah.
So like, yeah, that, I mean, some of that definitely applied in. Baba, I know your family is constantly changing over the years.
Yeah. Hopefully bigger, all that's, so hopefully we're done growing. So that's that's it. I was trading before. I was trading like stocks and like random small cap stuff before I had a family. And I think my journey's a little bit different, although I think it probably some of it overlaps with kind of what the question is. So I traded futures now for probably I can't ever remember, actually. I mean, we do this. I have to, like, call banks and figure out when it was. But I know that it was probably in – it's probably been 7 years or so. So that sounds about right.
Yeah. I think that's what you said last time.
7 years ish that I've traded futures, but only the last like 3.5 have been serious, I would say. The first 4 years, it was like just kind of a random thing I would look at like at night or randomly throughout the day, but definitely no, you know, it was very much like a slot machine. Like, oh, let's see what happens here. If I make a couple $100, that'd be cool. And then like a few years ago, I was like, man, there's actually opportunity with this. And kind of dug into it a lot more, maybe 3.5, 4 years ago. So then traded with Banks, traded with some other guys, traded with Flaherty 2 years ago for the better, or last year for the better part of the year, into the middle of the year. And then he kind of pulled back from the front and center, and we started Vanta. And then at the end of this past year, I actually moved away from my full-time job. So trading took a whole different turn when it went from something I do every day, but I don't have to depend on it in any real way, to, man, it matters more than ever because of all the things that you said, that I come in here and act like I have a brain and stick to my risk parameters, stick to my plan, and continue to grow and develop as a trader.
Absolutely, man.
Longtime fans of the show should be familiar with the lender formerly known as Sue Pullen, and I'm pleased to announce that she's back, fresh off a rebrand and ready to help as Sue Mackey. Sue is a certified mortgage advisor at Fairway Independent Mortgage, an equal housing lender who focuses on finding the right product for you and your needs. She has over 20 years of experience helping thousands of homeowners. Whether it's purchasing, refinancing, or even a reverse mortgage, Sue will help. Sue's licensed in 36 states now, so reach out and let Sue Mackey it happen for you. The best way to reach her is to just give her a call at 520-977-7904 or in an email, spullen@fairwaymc.com. Fairway Independent Mortgage has an MLS number of 2289. Sue Mackey has an MLS number of 206048. That email again, spullen@fairwaymc.com. And that phone number is 520-977-7904. Shoot Sue an email and let her know she needs to update that address.
Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Introducing WonderSuite from Bluehost.com, the tool that makes WordPress wonderful for everyone. Website creation is hard, but now with Bluehost, you can answer a few simple questions about your business and goals, and the WonderSuite tools will automatically lay out your WordPress website or store in minutes. Seriously. From there, you can customize your design, pick your brand colors, and add blocks. No custom theme or coding required. You'll get content suggestions that you can keep or revise. And with Yoast SEO built in, we automatically help you get found in search engines. From step-by-step guidance to suggested plugins to an AI-powered help bot, our built-in tools make WordPress wonderful for everyone. Whether you're a beginner or a pro, you can join over 2 million Bluehost users. Go to bluehost.com/wondersuite. That's bluehost.com/wondersuite.
Like, I get the point. The more people that you have counting on you, the more pressure you have mounting. Yes. Yeah. The less, and if you're in the right mindset, you take that as motivation, not a source of fear, and you can leverage that and do great stuff. But it also comes with some form of pressure, because as you said, you know, like it kind of makes you sometimes doubt retaking risk or make you risk averse. And you know, you need, it's not like you need to change anything. It's just be aware that I think that that can like add to, you know, your risk profile, maybe make you a little risk averse. So, you know, you gotta be aware of that, I believe.
Fatty, I think it doesn't, I don't know that necessarily it's family. I think it's anytime anybody's depending on you for anything.
That's true.
That it's going to affect your risk tolerance in some way or shape.
I think, yeah.
Just being on stream and knowing that people are listening to what you have to say and that's influencing decisions, I think would probably have an effect on you.
Yep, absolutely.
The funny thing about the streaming thing is that was awkward for like a month. And mm-hmm. then I like just kind of I don't even really think about it anymore.
I think you have to, right? If you think too much about it, you
have to just get, I just don't really consider it. Really. I think the performance side of things is where, like you said, that taking that expectation pressure or whatever, acknowledging it, but then using that as motivation is something I think I'm learning about. I wouldn't say I've completely learned it, but changing that from a negative type of a vibe to a positive driver has been some of the transition that I've experienced through this process over the last few months.
It's a journey of growth, you know. Yeah. It takes a while. And I think it's just like the skill of trading. It'll probably take a couple of years.
Baba, with you though, it would seem like the catalyst or the turning point for you to turning that into a positive was knowing that basically they were all on your side. Like there was some doubt in your mind at one point.
Yeah.
But once that was cleared up, that was gone.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I've struggled this year, especially like into December, into January, February, I feel like even into March, like mm-hmm. was a real tough stretch of trading. And there were times when I was like, oh my gosh, I'm over here just fumbling the bag on stream in front of people. I didn't like that. But also I didn't like the lack of results when it comes to like, yeah, the people that I live with, specifically my wife. And trying to navigate all of that was a real, it was a challenge. And I think, a big part of that was knowing that, my wife is on my team and is my big fan. And did my performance and results, you know, take a tick down for a chunk of time because of the new pressures and stress of, hey, this is the real deal? Sure. But I think that's almost, if you think about it like a business, it's like any business that enters a new season of growth or a new season of challenge or a new market fluctuation for any industry, you have to gather all of that, figure out what to do with it, and then move forward. You know, that's the way that I've kind of thought about this now as I've navigated through a lot of that. So, to the point of, I really love the thing you said about that can be pressure and a negative, or it can be an inspiration. And I think that's the more exciting side of the coin to live on and think about, you know?
Absolutely. It's all about how you interpret it and like your mindset towards it. So, you know, a lot of our mindsets are subconscious. So, you know, it might come to you as like, oh, this is too much pressure. So you have to kind of, you know, not force yourself to view it the other way. But whenever you get the chance, you'll be like, huh, this is good for me, you know, this, like, there's people watching, there's people depending, I want to be doing good, you know. A downside of not having anybody that is depending on you is becoming reckless, and both of those places end up in the same place as far as when it comes to the market, zero, no, maybe negative. All right, like being too reckless or being too conservative will not take you there. There has to be a balance in your risk-taking approach, and family just needs to be viewed the right way. And if you're somebody transitioning from like being single to like being married, and you've been exposed to markets, I think this is something you need to be aware of and like maybe size down a little bit or take it easy at the beginning, because
100%. I mean, that's huge. I think any change, I don't think you could overestimate how it may affect you, because I underestimated it completely. I actually didn't consider it at all at first. I was like, oh, this is going to be amazing. Now I won't have any distractions, and I'll just come in here and bang, bang, bang. And because I am, you know, the best to ever do it. So obviously, right? Like however we think of ourselves, you know, but that's obviously not true. I'm not the best to ever do it. And
but you got
to
have some of that in your head.
I think everybody has a little bit of that, you know, I got something magic.
Some of it's healthy.
Yeah. But underestimating the new opportunity for inspiration, but also the pressure and challenge of this as a day in, day out grind, every day, you know, the real deal kind of thing. Like, I definitely underestimated the toll of that. And so I would say for any trader who's transitioning in any way to a new stage of life, a new season, anything like that, like, I think that what you said, like, size down, take it easy, and like ease into it is huge advice, because you can put some bruises on yourself that take a little while to get better if you just go in like a bull.
It's funny, actually. Get into it a little bit more if we have time to do some good, bad, and ugly, but like, just the conversations I've been having with Andrew the last couple of recordings that we did, that uprooted enough for me to need to take a little mini vacation.
Yeah, I think that's great.
It doesn't take much to throw you off.
No, dude, you can wake up and have a frustrating conversation and come to the desk and, you know, you're like, well, who is this person pushing these buttons? Like, what is happening? You know?
Yeah.
I think Banks does a really good job of that. He's never in a hurry to take a trade.
Yeah. Yeah.
It doesn't seem like, and I've been around him for a long time. He's fine to miss it. There's a measure of like, it'll come and it'll be exactly what I'm looking for, or I just won't take it. There's that side of the coin. I think for me, I am a little more aggressive on both entries and targets. And so like, we make a really good balance between the two of us, but I envy that in his trading and his approach. Is like,
I wish he was here, because I'd be real curious to know if he ever does take the leap and go professional, like if he can still stick to that type of strategy or what.
I think he would, because he's been that way the whole time.
Yeah, and he's got so many markets now.
How
many times does he message us in the middle of the night slinging fucking natural gas or something?
Yeah, it's crazy. Or like, oh, did you see UB last night? I'm like, bro, it was 4 a.m. No, I didn't see UB. I'm asleep. I'm freaking sleeping, dude. I don't sleep a lot, but I do sleep some. And I'm not, I mean, you know, but there's something to that ability to be disciplined in that way, mm-hmm. that I think most people lean a little one way or the other on that. And so both of those have positives and negatives.
Yeah.
And I think it's just like about that balance of navigating it. I mean, I think it's a huge part of it.
Depends on your personality too, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. 100%. So we mentioned a bunch of positivity about trading with a group and stuff like that.
Yeah.
We did get a question. I wanted to at least get it thrown in here before. I know we're getting sort of close on time. Would there be any negatives to trading with a group of people?
Becoming like influenced by others' opinion. It comes down. Yeah. No. I get it. Well, when you don't know what you're doing, you're easily influenced. And that's why when we take trades in the room, we explain the reasoning behind it. So, and the logic and the levels and the tools that we used, right? So this way, whoever is listening has an understanding. Okay, this is why they do this and that. And that's what I'm going to be looking for. So at the beginning, yes, you're going to be influenced, you know, a lot. So it's better actually to start off, take the first couple of weeks just watching, observing, you know, so this way you don't have your hands on things. And it gives you some room to grasp what to look for, what to wait for before you start getting more hands-on with the market with us. Because, yes, you can get influenced, but at the same time, if you're not profitable, then you need to be influenced. Some good influence should be coming your way for you to swing your process into profitability. You know, you're malleable and you're unsure of your system. So opinions about the markets or comments or stuff like that might change how
I
you think.
I think it's interesting, though, that people focus so much on the trades themselves, when really I think the real value that, you know, people like you, Fatty, Vico, Baba, when you guys are streaming, it's not necessarily the entries and exits where the value is. It's the consistent approach that you guys have day in and day out, and getting to see how you navigate the days when, you know, you eat three stops trying to fight for that entry. Like, you know, is this one where you call it off, or are you going to try and take that fourth one? Like, there's value in watching how you guys navigate those trials.
Well, the whole point is executing a system in a live market environment, right? So when we are doing it, we're also doing for the purpose of to become profitable. If I miss this trade, or I have this entry in my system and I kind of miss it, it kind of, you know, kind of screws around with my outcome. So I'm always trying to execute the system, and I'm always trying to give feedback on what I'm looking for, you know, and what I need to see for me to take the entry. So it does help, honestly. It helps being together in a room trading with somebody who's talking about his trades, and as well as you can see them, you know, ask questions. The interaction is where the learning happens. Mm-hmm. And in the room, we just give room for that to happen, as well as like the entries, so that you guys can see live, like, hey, we put on real risk, you know, we're not right.
Not trading sim.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, well, I mean, George would trade sim every now and then. He's very clear when he was trading sim and why.
Yeah, no, like, and sometimes like it's when you're running the room alone, you need breaks, you know, and and that's what George had. The team up between me and Vic kind of took that away, because, like, if somebody's going on sim, somebody, the other one who's not, is going to take, like, the sharing and just straight his own way. And also, one more thing I think that plays a factor is, like, the type of humans that me and Victoria are. Like, I don't think we all often or ever woke up and be like, hey, like, I'm not going to put on risk, or I'm pretty, you know, solid every day in the morning. I'm ready to do this. I want to do this. I come to play. That's the way I view myself. And sometimes you're going to take losses that are part of your system, and you have to be disciplined enough to re-execute or step away from the desk when you need to. This is part of the game. And we just don't take a lot of days ever be like somebody. It's the only time that one of us is not there. It's either traveling or sickness.
Yeah, Vico's a machine.
Vico's a machine, yeah. Absolutely.
You know, I think one of the things, I think the thing I'm most proud of with what we do here and what I know of what you guys do there is, and Kyle, you mentioned it, but just to harp on it again, is it's like every day we're modeling for our folks. Not necessarily exactly what they should do. Like, I don't think everyone in our room should look at exactly what I look at every day. I don't think everyone in our room should execute exactly how I execute every day. But the bigger narrative at play is that there's four charts I'm going to look at every morning. I'm going to look at them looking for the same things every day. And then when I'm executing, for the most part, I'm going to be executing around a couple of signatures, a couple of key things that I like to see to pull the trigger. That's my toolbox. That toolbox I use day in, day in, day in, day in. There should be a few things in my toolbox that Kyle sees me use every day, and he goes, that tool could help me in this area. I'm gonna lean into that piece of what Baba's doing. But then there's gonna be
4 hours.
But there's going to be other things that I do that Kyle looks at and goes, I don't really think that's not for me. But I model consistently the things that I use every day. And I think that just that idea that there should be for you as a trader, you know, there should be a defined A+ opportunity that you're always looking for. And then there should be an approach every day to kind of build your perspective about what is, at least what you feel is likely or probable. And I think eliminating the variable of I look at this today and I look at this tomorrow and I look at this the next day and today I'm executing on this chart, but tomorrow I'm on this one. Like all those variables, it becomes really hard to have any statistical anything to analyze.
You know? It's impossible to learn patterns too if you're not looking at the same things every day.
There's two things to model in that space. You can model the analysis, which meaning the tools being used, the market environment, the discussions, the plan, the pre-market stuff. This is a modeling that you have to get a mentor to kind of copy and see where the tools are, how they're used, how they're applicable. But the main form of modeling is the hardest one to pull off, which is the execution.
Pulling the trigger, brother.
Yeah. So, I can sit with somebody for like a couple of weeks and he will model my analysis perfectly. It's just my stuff is so simple, you know? But like the execution is what I get paid to do. So like him being able to see that has a lot of value, you know, because the market itself is a challenge. You know, sometimes you have to make some tough decisions. People don't realize that until they've been trading for a year. You know, I think there is like a gap between people's understanding of what the markets are on the outside and their first year perspective kind of hits them in the face. They're like, hey, welcome to reality. We have arrived. And it's just like, you know, and that's just like how it is. So I do agree with you. There has to be a toolbox. Everybody has to be aware of that toolbox, going over it day in and day out to figure out their plan and how to move forward from their plan, but also, you know, giving value in terms of being able to share your execution, your highest form of mastery. You know, it's like it has a lot of value. That's why I realized that now. You know, we see it in people. The learning curve just cuts in half. You know, and it's not like necessarily that they're copying and pasting. It's just like he gets a feel for okay, this is what it looks like. He's watching you do it. You know, it's like learning any trade, for example. You want to be a carpenter? What are you going to do? You're going to go stay with somebody that does it for like, 2-3 months, and you'll pick it up, and it's the same form.
Do we have any other questions from the chat? Let's see. Ron wanted to know what your main challenge in trading these days is.
These days as in like this past week or like recently, for example?
I think you can interpret that however you like.
Yeah, like recently it was just like the slowness at the beginning of the week because of the FOMC, honestly. So the challenge was staying away while having to be there, you know, because like we guide the members, make sure nobody's over trading anything like that. So the challenge was staying away as long as and being there. When you don't have to, you just like you walk away. You'll be like, hey, I'll take today off. But when you have to, sometimes you're like, hey, like I'm advising them and I want to take this trade. So yeah, the challenge was just staying away, to be honest, this week when you needed to, and picking up after the news. FOMC, like the couple of days after, some good volatility today, like the range helped. Today was a really good day for me, and I got a short and I got two longs, I believe. So yeah, that's about it.
So what about like for like the last couple of months then?
A challenge for last couple of months, something that I've been working on. That's how I would interpret it.
Right.
So patience and winners. You realize after years trading that it doesn't come out to just the number of like wins versus losses. It's how much you can make on those wins versus losses. And one thing I think people not misinterpret it, but overlook is they think that a big winner is just it's easy to come by. A big winner is a result of being patient and letting the trade work and still having risk on, for example. You know, like I don't move to break even very quickly until I make sure that, hey, this is outside like a decent amount in my direction before I try to trail too tight, you know. So I think the thing I'm trying to pass here is like being patient in winners so that you can let the trade unfold fully in your direction, and then you can get that like 3-1 winner, 4-1 winner, whatever it is, because the market isn't just gonna go like 2-2, 3-1 very quickly. You know, you're gonna have to be patient. You're gonna have to leave your stop and give the trade some room to work for you to get that next leg higher. Otherwise, you're gonna have like an early exit from the trade, and well, yep. You're gonna get with 2-1, but leave like 6-1 or 4-1 on the table. And I have to mention also that a function of that is like how much size you can be trading. So that's mm-hmm. why, like, if you're directional, it's better to be on the micros, so that this way, once you're comfortable, you can put on 4-6, and this will help you kind of gauge more risk reward ratios, because you're just able to stay on board. Because, you know, the market isn't perfect. For example, like, we hold 570 today, you know, on NQ, if I remember correctly. You get the first leg higher into 600s, and it rotates there for like a good 20 minutes, and then it rotates back down, and then it rotates back up. You move your stops too early, you get taken out, and you don't participate in the second leg higher. And if you, for example, if you decide to take it, you know, like all on the first push up, then like, okay, you missed a big portion of the move just because you didn't want to take the risk on the way down. So a lot of big winners are an outcome of being patient and not trying to micromanage or trail too tight. And that is tough. Being in a trade carrying risk for 2-3 hours, I make that relative to an activity that you have, like, okay, you know, we're going to bench press today or run, for example, you know. So it does feel heavy unless you're used to it. It feels uncomfortable. I can just take this here and log this profit now. Why do I want to risk it? And the times where it goes back and stops you, you know, you have to be okay with that too. Be like, hey, I shot for a big winner. I didn't get it. It stopped me. Part of my system. We brush it off. We come back.
Adi, I think we're going to have to probably have another more in-depth conversation, just kind of diving into that. I feel like we could probably fill at least half an hour talking about that one concept there.
Love talking to you guys whenever, absolutely.
But I think now it's time to hit some good, bad, and ugly and wrap this thing up. Anybody want to go first?
You go, Kyle.
Yeah, it's been a while since I got to go first. All right, well, I talked a little bit with Fady before we kicked off the recordings here, and I think I talked a little bit about it last week, taking some time away to do another observation period. And I finished that this week, so that's I think that's my big good. Not just that I finished it, no trading until FOMC was the commitment. So I did a little over a week. I think I can't remember if I stopped on Tuesday or Wednesday of last week. I was allowed to trade on Thursday, and I didn't take any trades on Thursday because I just didn't see anything I really liked. I did take some trades on Friday, but even though the results were maybe like slightly red, I think it was down like 20 points total on the day, I was much, much happier with my headspace and my execution. So during that period when I was just observing, what I was doing was I was making notes on the charts, like what I was thinking, what I wanted to see, trade ideas as they were coming up. I was just constantly distracting myself whenever I'd feel urges or hear thoughts in my head. I was making notes on the charts, where they happened, and you know, what was kind of behind it? Like, what was I hearing? What was the urge? Was the urge to short here? If the urge was to short here, then I would distract myself from the urge by saying, okay, what do I want to see in order to take a short here? What point is that going to be wrong? But just by doing all of that stuff, man, it was so much clearer. It just felt much more peaceful.
Absolutely. I know trading just drops a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
Because you're not looking for something to pull you in. You're looking for precise information that you can see visually and measure, you know? Yeah. So the accumulation of that, like, there's a lot of tools. Obviously, we talk about that a lot in the course in the room. But, like, what you just explained is very interesting, because this is what you need to do for you to be able to trade. You have to drop the pressure of trading, all right?
Yes.
Because, like, it's just too much risk if you always take in the pressure. And the way you do that is simply you attach yourself to the process, all right, and the system that you have, and be like, okay, when 1-2-3 happens, I want to look for 4 and 5, and once 4 and 5 are there, I'm executing. And once if 6 presents itself and I need to re-enter, I'm gonna freaking do it. And then this is the system, you know. Of course, there's tools, there's more to it than that, but like, you need to define where, when, what I need to see to take away from the impulses or something that drags you on with it. So what you said is very important.
You know, it was really fascinating, though, is I was allowed to take a trade on Thursday, but like as soon as the possibility of being able to take a trade was there, like immediately that peaceful feeling I had during the previous week was gone.
It's gone. Absolutely.
Completely gone. And yes. It was just the knowledge that I could take a trade suddenly.
It gives you power. Yeah. You know, it gives you your power back. Like, I don't need to be rushing Toronto short. If this 1-2-3 happens, I'll take the short. If it doesn't happen and it goes my way, then it's a short that didn't set up. I didn't lose money. You know, I never lost money in a trade I haven't took. You know, sometimes the outcomes just play your way, but the qualification and the confirmation just weren't there. And mm-hmm. you have to be able to accept, okay, it's missed, it's a move, screw it. I'll get on next best trade, you know, and focus on that.
It's that. It's being more aware of what those urges are and who is talking to me when they're talking. Like, that's the Rambo persona that I defined from the last couple of episodes with Andrew. So like I was saying earlier, like that whole idea of like, oh, my stop got hit, Rambo's dead. That's a little funny way of me to be able to take myself out of the moment of that impulse of like, you know, get it back, revenge, like this, yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like just a little something to kind of make me chuckle to myself. And it takes me out of that moment and then allows me to look back rationally.
Yeah.
And having like a mechanism to be able to pull yourself out of those impulsive moments.
Yeah.
But you got to be aware of them first, right? And how else can you build awareness other than listening?
Absolutely. You have to experience. You have to experience what those moments feel like, what those impulses get you to. It's like almost you have to experience the bad outcomes of what these impulses lead to for you to be able to recognize them so that you're able to build a defense mechanism against them. And that defense mechanism is simply your system. You know, it's, that's it. That's what you're there to do. That's what you're applying. That's why when you miss a trade, you don't beat yourself up. And, you know, when you eat a loss and it goes your way, you're like, huh, part of my outcomes, next best trade.
Yeah. Celebrate the data point, right?
Yep.
All right, Bobby, you wanna give us? I didn't really have a bad or ugly because you know I didn't really do a whole lot of much. Nothing that I would classify as really bad, other than having to write a fat deposit to get some basement work done this winter.
I hate those.
That's annoying.
Yeah, it was gonna be a pricey one.
let's see. The good was Thursday.
Was Thursday the day you checked on me? Yeah.
What did I do?
That was. I think you checked on me on Thursday because I...
Well, yeah, that was good. I'm glad I checked on you. So that was part of the good, is that I returned the favor. Kyle and Banks are the two that most often have, not super awesome, but every so often, they hit me with, hey, man, are you good? Like if I have a, you know, if I have a couple stops in a row, which is nice.
Well, normally for me, it's when I hear you saying things like I'm an idiot or I miss something. Like when you start getting self-critical, that's when I'm messaging you.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Sometimes I'll, yeah. If I miss something after, I'll like, I try to pull my head up like every 30, 45 minutes and just like, okay, where are we at here and whatever. And when I do that and notice something like, oh my gosh, God. Freaking totally overlooked that. Then it's like, it's so glaringly obvious in that moment. But the 13th particularly was just a really tidy, my recollection, the morning session, I can't remember. I guess
the morning was choppy.
The morning was choppy. So maybe we took a couple trades. We were like long off the open for some points, short below that for some points. It chilled out a little bit. And then later in the day, there was some good opportunities to the long side. And I actually called Banks after the day. And I was like of all the days in my recent memory, if every day was like that was like Thursday, that would be ideal. So like, you know, what's your ideal perfect trading day? I don't think the action that day was ideal or perfect for me, but I think my ability to take the information in and make the right decisions was, it was just one of those days that was above average as far as like, I didn't have a high level of stress or frustration at any point. I took some stops. I took, I don't know. I took probably four stops that day.
Mm-hmm.
My risk was super in check. My winning trades were three times the length of time that my losing trades and my, like my RR was like almost 4-1. And, you know, I didn't trade a lot of size. So I traded like twosie, threesie, and I just called banks. I was like, I could do that every day.
Yeah.
That day, and again, the market environment wasn't perfect for my preferred environment, but my ability to navigate it was really good. And so it was just, you know, that's the good. Like, it was just a standout good day from that standpoint. It wasn't a Hallmark P&L day or anything like that, but it was a good day.
Sounds like you were just in a good state.
Yeah, it was just really, really good.
Well, when things are going well and you're flowing with the flow, trading just feels like an effortless activity.
Exactly.
That makes you income, and it's so beautiful.
The lazy river.
And yeah, those are what I call the ups, you know, and there's the downs too, where, you know, everything is just, you know, not working.
Everything is just not working.
And like the, like you approach always on neutral, you know, this is the way I see it, because like you get caught on either end of those and it's not good. So you always want to know what's like the middle point. Hey, I'm not too happy, I'm not too sad, and just bring that there in the morning every day. That's how you become a machine, like Victorio.
A machine. That's what I'm looking to be. That's what I'm looking to be. The bad for this week, I feel like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, I don't feel like they weren't great trading days for me. They weren't anything special.
Well, pre-FOMC, right? Like, we expect that. This is one of the times that we try, like, one of the times that you try to avoid trading. Not avoid, but less size, lesser entries. That's the way I see it. If you're going to trade them, you know, you keep it small, you keep it tight, you keep it like you tie yourself to a three trade that coming in, I'm going to do those and I'm going to walk away with lesser size, win or loss. And this is an indication of, you know, one of the times where you shouldn't be trading, or you shouldn't be over trading, or taking a lot of trades, or taking bigger trades, you know, pre-FOMC, pre-big news. You want to keep things. Markets are usually low volume. Everybody's waiting for the news that's going to drive direction. So it's like, you know, if you're doing too much or if you're doing too big, that's on you, right? Yep. You carry the responsibility of that. And, you know, for newer people, I think just avoid it altogether. Come and watch us trade and don't take it.
That's what Purdue does. He takes the week off.
Yeah. And come to trading after the big news has come and the direction was established and all that.
Yeah.
One other thing that I think is worth mentioning is like the pre-market volume, an indication of like choppiness and slow movement. As well as it is the big news that's coming, like low pre-market volume, if I see on the spools anything less than 200,000, I know it's like probably likely to be a slower session or something. So, you know, taking in when we are in terms of when is the big news coming and where we are in terms of volume can keep you away from bad trading environments, and the rest should be okay.
Right. And what was that, my bad and ugly? I think the only thing that was ugly was I did take a short today above like 650, which didn't set up super clean. And it was a trade that I would have probably could have lived without. It didn't really do anything other than just as I look back at my executions, I'm like, what are you doing? That's just not even a place to be taking that trade. Once we got above that giant chunk of mess that we built in the 30s, it was kind of like, what are we doing? So that's my ugly.
All right. Fady, you want to join in? You got anything good or bad, ugly from the past week you want to share?
I have an ugly thing that happened, and honestly, it's haunting me a little, maybe.
Oh, I love the ugly
thing. I was in the trading. I was trading in the room, and you know how, like, the brackets are attached to the, like, sometimes when the power goes off, sometimes the bracket goes off, right?
Yeah,
my laptop just suddenly shuts down. I'm in the middle of the room. There is people, you know, I don't think Victoria was there. Just goes, and I have a trade on and I don't know where is that trade heading, you know. Those moments crush you internally. It makes you, you know, you just feel it in your body type of thing. And, Yeah, that was tough, man. It took me about like 10 minutes of running around, not accomplishing anything, and the trade is still on. It was just like, yeah, it was tough. It was tough, man. It was, yeah.
Okay, so what do you trade on? Are you trading in Sierra charts?
I do trade Sierra charts, yeah.
Did you trade your own account through like CQG? Feed?
I do both now. I do some funded, like a way to kind of divert risk. I don't have to use all my money to trade, so I trade my own money and I trade some funded accounts as well.
Smart. But do you have the cell phone apps then, so that way you can log in remotely?
I actually don't until that occasion, and then and they were all in there. They were like within half an hour, everything was there. Everything was set up. Everything was connected. It only takes once, and you're like, huh?
That's exactly what happened to me. I had the similar thing. My internet or something went out. I couldn't close a position.
Like one time, Victorio blew up a position like on the phone. You know, you can call them like when you're trading with your own broker, right? And I didn't realize it's $150, I think, to blow out a contract. Like so the cell phone X is like your cheapest option.
Right.
Because like if you blow it on the phone, if you call them, it costs money to blow per contract. So, you know, closing out a position might be expensive. So yeah, definitely worth having the mobile access.
Yeah, if you haven't set it up, do it now, because otherwise you're going to be scrambling and you're not going to like trying to learn it in the moment.
Yeah.
All right, we have anything else for Good, Bad, and Ugly? I think it's time to wrap up, huh?
Yeah.
All
right, well, I think that's going to do it for today's episode. I'd like to say thank you to Fadi and Baba Yaga for joining us tonight. Everybody listening, you stuck around to the end. Remember, you can show our panelists some love. You can click on all those links in the show notes. Visit Trade Pro Academy if you want to follow in Fadi's footprints. Go to VantaTrading.com if you want to join Baba Yaga every morning, and BandUpTradersPodcast.com where you can browse the catalogs by guests, or you can check out all the great deals and discounts you've collected over the years. Be back soon with another exciting episode, hopefully more impressive than Dallas's final performance. But till then, rate, share, review the show as our AI overlord demands, and have a pleasant week.
Oh, wow.
That was a nice outro.
What an outro.
Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
This podcast is intended for informational and educational purposes only, does not constitute financial or investment advice, and should not be construed as such. The hosts, guests, and contributors of this podcast are not licensed financial advisors, brokers, or professionals. Any trading or investment decisions made based on the content of this podcast are solely at the listener's discretion and risk. Trading and investing in financial markets carry inherent risks, and past performance is not indicative of future results. Listeners should conduct their own research and seek advice from qualified financial professionals before making any financial decisions. The views, opinions, and information shared in this podcast are those of the individual contributors and do not necessarily reflect the views or policies of the podcast creators or associated organizations. Produced by China Shop Productions.